Unlock the past and safeguard your memories with scanmyphotos.com. Here's our special promo code, GODIGITAL, to get a whopping up to 50% off your photo scanning order. Don't let your cherished moments fade away. Digitize them now with precision and care. Whether it's old slides, photos, or films, bring them into the digital age and relive those precious memories. This is an affiliate promotion, meaning we may earn a commission if you take advantage of this fantastic deal. Act fast, preserve your history, and save big with Go Digital at scanmyphotos.com. Hi, I'm Maureen Taylor, the photo detective. I really love family photographs, all of them, from the mystery images you find in shoeboxes and albums to the pictures you snap with your digital devices. No mystery is too small. A simple question about an image can lead to new stories of your ancestors. This means you can count on me to help you identify the people in them, offer solutions for preserving and organizing them, and yes, even guide you in the various ways to gather and share picture stories with your relatives. It's time for another themed month. This time it's postcards. Three guests in August share stories about their personal connections with these mailable images. Most people have photo postcards and they seem to be a bit of a mystery to people. Like, why is it on a postcard? Did they mail them? Things like that. In this episode, English collector Mark Ruth talks about his collection, which spans from 1869 to the present, and he has some museum quality gems in that collection. Did you know that dirigibles mailed items for their passengers? Neither did I. You won't believe how many postcards he's accumulated in his lifetime, and it all began with a single card that his father gave him when he was 8. Mark's postcard collection began 50 years ago. He's a recently retired police officer. He has a substantial collection from all periods of postcard production. His specialist collections include television, he'll talk about that, the Falkland Wars, 1982, the RMS Titanic, Tigers, Zeppelin airships, and the COVID-19 pandemic. He wrote a regular postcard article for the international magazine Picture Postcard Monthly from 1992 to 2020. Unfortunately, the pandemic shut down that magazine. He now writes a monthly article for the new international magazine Picture Postcard Collecting, which started in 2020 as a replacement for the other magazine. My guest today is Mark Routh. And Mark, you're in the UK. And I want to thank you so much for being on the Photo Detective to talk about postcards.
My pleasure.
Now, where do you live in England?
I live in Essex, in a seaside town called Southend-on-Sea.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into collecting postcards?
I'm 58. I've been collecting postcards for 50 years. The very first one I got was courtesy of my father on a holiday when I was 8 years old. Obviously, he bought me that one, and I didn't look back. I'd found my hobby. I was interested in all types of postcards as time moved on. And I find them fascinating as a piece of history or as a memento of something in the here and now, of the present.
So are you saying that you collect postcards of all time periods and all styles?
I have postcards going back to 1869, which is when the very first postcard came out. And I've got postcards that arrived yesterday, which are from this year.
Really? 1869?
Yeah, there's a big difference. The early postcards from 1869 through to about 1894 were quite dull. They're not picture postcards. They were plain postcards with a pre-printed stamp and an area for the address to go on the same side as the printed stamp, and then the other side was blank for the message. So they were very, very simple items then. But then obviously as time moved on and all the inventions adapt, and then around about 1894, the first picture postcards started arriving, where companies and producers decided to put a picture on the side that had the blank side for the message. They decided to put a picture on there, initially just a small picture, so you could still write the message around it, because you were only allowed to have the address on one side and all the other information had to go on the other side. What we now know is the divided back postcard, the type that where you can have the address on the right hand side and your message on the left hand side, that was invented in 1902 here in the UK. And that obviously distributed around the world. And then obviously the front of the postcard could have, as we now know it, a full picture.
A real photo postcard. They could be real photo postcards. The ones you're talking about from 1894, I believe, are the like chromolithographic cards.
Very much so. Although you do get photographic ones from the early part of the 1900s, say 1903, 1904, going onwards, you would find photographic ones. And obviously, from then right through to the start of the First World War, photographic ones became more and more popular.
What was the first postcard that your dad gave
you? It was a photograph of a New Forest pony. The New Forest being a large area where a lot of tourists go. We were on holiday there. As a child, I was fascinated in wildlife and animals. And that was all I collected up until I was about 13, 14. But as I was finding new cards, I was trying to find more unusual ones with animals in. And then I was missing sets because not all of the cards had animals on. And then I decided that I would buy those sets, and that obviously got me into other cards. And then it was an escalating pyramid going in the opposite direction, just more and more cards. And I became more and more fascinated.
I'm afraid to ask how many cards you have.
Realistically, it is somewhere around a million cards.
A million cards?
I have a couple of rooms of my house, but more importantly, I have a large double garage-sized storage unit, which is full of cards in boxes and albums. I would love to say definitely, but sometimes where I've bought sets, I know I've got the set. I don't necessarily can remember all of the cards that are in that set. If I come across one individually, I sometimes make an error, but as a whole, I'm fairly good.
It is really common to buy a duplicate. Hard to keep them all straight. I mean, I don't have anywhere close to a million, but that's a lot of images to keep in your mind.
And sometimes what I do is I post those to get different stamps and different hand stamps and bits. So it wouldn't be around a million different cards, but the vast majority would be different.
And what's the percentage of real photo postcards to chromolithic cards to the early ones that didn't have an image on them?
You're going to find the chromolithic cards up until around 1902, 1903, even up to sort of like 1908. They're going to, certainly in the earlier years, they were going to be the higher percentage. The photographic cards had pretty much taken over by 1908. They were far more prolific. And it was because there was lots of little photographic studios set up. And what the photographic studios did in those days, obviously before everyone had telephones and other forms of contact, people would go into their local photographic shop and they'd have a photograph taken, family or one person of the family. And they'd produce that as a postcard. And that's what families and people would use to send back and forth between each other. It was a way of updating family and friends that were far away with a new image. And these little photographic shops made a lot of money from that. But to boost their money, they would go out and photograph the streets in the area where the shop was located. and the passers-by of the shop would see the photographs of their street in the window, and then they would buy those. And then it moved on to events, royal visits, car crashes in the early days, because the cars were a new invention. Anything that would be an event would be photographed, and the local shop would produce postcards of that. Sometimes within 12, 24 hours of the event, the card would be on sale.
But in your own collection, what's sort of the breakdown of the early cards, the chromolithographic cards, and the real photo postcards?
I tend to have a lot of real photographic cards of my hometown from the early 1900s. I think you're going to find it's going to be 50-50 up until the start of the First World War. It changed in 1914 for a very, very good reason, and because of the war. And the main reason being is that chromolithographic postcards were best produced in Germany. And most British publishers, or a large percentage of the ones that had art cards, the chromolithographic printed cards, were having them produced in Germany. Obviously, that wasn't possible whilst we were at war with Germany. So that side of import died off. And obviously, the photographic ones pretty much took over from then.
And what about linen cards?
Very much an American invention, the linen cards. Never came to the UK. So over here, we don't have them. Being a collector of cards from all over the world, I am aware of those. But they started in the 1930s and were really only popular between the 1930s and the 1950s, where they tailed off.
How about the ones that are backlit that look like it's a nighttime?
Hold to lights.
What are they called?
Yes. Hold to lights. The idea being is that you hold it up and there's little windows and stuff with a different lighter material, and it looks like the light is shining through.
Yes.
You could find those right back to the early 1900s, 1904, 1903. So that they've been around for a long time.
What are you actively collecting right now? Anything? You collect just broad spectrum, anything that comes across, and where do you find these cards?
I have some specialist collections, which I'm always looking to add to, but I also like buying souvenir cards when travel comes back again, because obviously at the moment that's been restrictive in the last 16 months or so. But when I travel, I buy cards from shops, museums, places I visit, attractions. And I like all those type of things as my souvenir postcards. My specialist collections, I do the RMS Titanic. I particularly like the history of television, anything to do with television. At the moment, I'm very much into the postcards that are coming out in relation to the pandemic and COVID-19. And it's been surprising how many different cards have come about as a result of the lockdowns and the issues that we're having
really?
At the moment. Yes.
I haven't seen a single one.
I've probably got in the region of 400 different cards now.
About the pandemic?
Yes.
I can't even conceive of it. I have never seen one.
You do have to know where to go and look. The thing is, you have a number of different systems for buying. There's online auction houses.
Yeah.
eBay is the most well-known one, but you've got Delcamp, which comes out of Belgium, and some other ones dotted around. That's where the collectors go, people like myself who are actively searching for new cards for their collection. And then you've got a site called Etsy, easy to sell yourself is what it stands for, and artists and people go on there, individuals that produce their own little paintings, their own pictures, and then they produce them on cards. There's lots of other stuff on Etsy, but obviously I'm only there to look for the postcards. And obviously artists doing new stuff, producing cards that have some form of lockdown message. Most popular icon at the moment is the toilet roll, for all the issues that toilet rolls had in the early days of the pandemic and the lockdown. So you get lots of cards depicting toilet paper and I survived the toilet paper apocalypse and silly messages like that. But they're all related. And the idea is to catch on to the thing of the moment. And they will all be gone in a year's time or less. But it's a turnover of new designs on there, which is worth keeping up with.
Well, collecting postcards is a very inexpensive hobby for someone to start, whether it's a kid or an adult. I mean, there are cards that cost, they're a little expensive and some are very expensive, but for the most part, you can find cards for a dollar or so here in the US. They might not be the most collectible at the moment, but
you can buy even cheaper. I was in New York a couple of years ago, and in fact, last year in February, before all the issues. And in some of the gift shops, you can buy 10 postcards for a dollar. So you really can buy really nice cards quite cheaply. But then again, you may want a lenticular one, which is like a moving 3D image ones, and you may end up paying $5. So there are postcards out there for whatever your pocket is. I mean, you could buy cards as cheap as 10 different ones for a dollar, or you could find nice ones for $2, $3, $4. So whatever you're willing to spend, there are postcards there for you.
What are you going to do with all these cards?
What does any collector do with all the cards that he has? I have them in boxes and albums. I write an article for a magazine that comes out at the moment. It comes out 10 months a year, but before the pandemic, it came out every month. And that was just an article about what was new, what I discovered. And that was ongoing. And I've been writing that since 1992. So I use a lot of postcards for that. I do displays around the UK on my specialist topics, which is the Titanic, Falklands War, television. And I will be doing a display. I'm mounting a display at the moment for the COVID.
That's what I wanted to ask you about. When you say you collect television cards,
yes,
what do you mean by that?
I collect all sorts. I collect postcards that depict characters from television programs. I collect advertising cards for television stars. I also do postcards that depict televisions. You'll be surprised at how many cartoon cards have a television on there somewhere. And I'm quite specialised. I also do postcards from areas where TV series are filmed. So for me, it's any aspect of the television story and history. Just as an example, there were postcards for the 1966 Batman series that everyone knows. Lassie was a TV series, and there are postcards of that. Pretty much most of the pre-1970s TV programs had some sort of postcard product produced, so you could hunt it down. So if you had a favorite program, you could go and find postcards depicting the stars or the scenes or the area where that postcard or where that particular TV series was filmed.
Do you sell postcards as well? I mean, is this your hobby, and are you a dealer, or is this just your hobby and you do something else?
Whilst I was working, I was a police officer for 30 years. Whilst I was a police officer, if I came across a nice card, and it was a ridiculously price, I used to buy 3 or 4 or 5 of them and put 4 or 5 away. And I did that for over 30 years. And my intention was always to become a dealer once I retired, which is what I did. Unfortunately, that has coincided with a worldwide pandemic. But for me, that's just another part of the hobby. And yes, I do have a stock, and we do go to fairs, and the stock goes out, and obviously people could come and buy that. And my problem is that I quite often spend as much at a fair as I make, because I'm still collecting.
It is a bit of an obsession, isn't it, the collecting of all things?
Yes, I mean, there are different levels of collectors, and I'm probably in the most extreme. I'm interested in the cards, I'm interested in the stamps that are used on them, the messages. If an image is produced as a postcard, sometimes the backs change or they get different reference numbers, but the image is the same. I collect all the different reference number issues, especially with the television ones. I may have five or six of what other people would consider to be the same card, but there'll be a difference in the text or the layout on the back of the card. And I'm interested in those stories. Some companies changed the layout of the reverse side of their cards over certain periods. There was a company here in England called Salmon, who were very popular, and they changed the reverse side of their postcard designs every 10 years. So you can place those cards into the decade just by the reverse layout, even if they're not been postally used. You still know they come from that 10-year period. So, yes, I mean, I love reading the messages on them. I've got some printing plates. I've got some original artwork. I've got some uncut sheets. I'm that type of a collector. I like all aspects of the hobby of postcards.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. You've collected a lot of things. If you think you have a million cards that you've collected in 50 years, I mean, if you do the math and think about how many postcards that would be per year, it's still a staggering number.
I've got postcards that were posted on, carried on board the Graf Zeppelin and the Hindenburg airships, and they're like three figures each, and I've got a big collection of those.
These were actually on the Hindenburg?
I've got one that was on the final flight. The one that sadly exploded at Lakehurst, but en route across Europe, it dropped mail over Cologne. And some of that mail obviously survived, but it was carried partially on part of the journey of that last trip of the Hindenburg. So, yes, there are all sorts of mail for airship, and it's very highly collected. And because of that, they are quite expensive. You can easily, some of the cards I've got are £200-300 each, and I've got about 180 Zeppelin flown material. And if you work on the theory that the cheap ones are sort of like £40-50, medium sort of range is around 100-120, and then they start going up. I have bought some other collections, obviously. Unfortunately, collectors pass away and artists and of postcards pass away. I had the privilege to buy a collection of a specific artist that I do collect called Farga, and he issued postcards in the 70s and the 80s particularly. He passed away in 89, I believe. When he passed away, I made contact with his then widow, and I bought the artist's own collection of cards, and I also bought the artwork for those cards as well. Some of them are massive. There's a story written in there of how they were produced. There was letters from the printers. There were artwork designs that weren't used, adaptive designs. And I loved that whole story. So, as I say, a little bit eccentric perhaps, but I love that telling the whole story and being able to use that material to produce displays so that I can show it to other collectors and other people.
Where do you see yourself going with?
I will cut back a little bit in the quantity that I obviously used to buy years ago. I'm never going to stop. I'm always going to keep my television collection, my Titanic collection I love, and that's mounted for a display, so I take that out with me. So I don't see an end to my collecting. I mean, obviously the postcard story itself is adapting over time, and it would be true to say that a lot less postcards are actually sent by people. But everywhere you go, you can still buy postcards, and that's because, in my personal opinion, they have adapted. Postcards are now bought by people on holiday, not to send, but to keep as their mementos. Because, and I'm a good example, I take loads of photographs, but no photograph I'm going to take is ever going to be as good as the image that the professional photographer has taken that's been printed on that postcard. So the postcard shows it at its best, whether it's a building, a park, a landscape view, an animal in a zoo, or an artifact in a museum, that postcard is going to be better than anything that I can produce. And that's the same with a large number of people. So their mementos are made up of their own photographs and the postcards. Guys, is what I think that is now. Postcards are a souvenir. They are collected by people who don't consider themselves as postcard collectors, but they are collecting their own souvenirs of their trips.
Do you have a postcard museum that might be interested in your collection?
Unfortunately, I mean, there was a postcard museum here in England, but that passed away some years back. I'm not aware of any specific postcard museum anymore. We have a National Postal Museum, and they actually have a display on at the moment, which is the 151st year anniversary of the creation of the first British postcard, which came out in 1870. So they have an interest in the story of the postcard. But to be honest, my collection, when I pass away, my children will sell on my postcards and they will go to other collectors, and other collectors will get the opportunity to enjoy what I've picked up and I've managed to put together and what I've had a huge amount of enjoyment from. So that will pass on to others, and there will be postcard collectors, because postcards are wrapped up in history, and history is ongoing.
Good statement. Mark, I want to thank you so much for being on the Photo Detective podcast. This has been a fascinating conversation. I'm still stunned at the size of your collection, but I want to thank you so much for being on the show.
It's been my pleasure.
If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on social media, leave me a rating and a review, and if you know of a friend or family member who's also interested in family photographs, share this episode with them too. See you next time. I'm thrilled to be offering something new, Photo Investigations. These collaborative one-on-one sessions look at your family photos. You and I meet to discuss your mystery images and find out how each clue and hint might contribute to your family history. And trust me, these images can reveal so much in your research. I have decades of experience in the photo, genealogy, and history industries. This is your chance to learn from me and discover the stories in your family images. You can find out more by going to MaureenTaylor.com and clicking on Family Photo Investigations.